Okay, welcome everybody. So you should all have a a sheet of paper that says student presentation grading request form with two options on it. Have you got one of those? Charlie's looking. You look nervous.
I just wondered.
Good. Okay. You should also have a reissued version of the presentation guidelines for homework. Obviously, these also apply to classwork, but I realise that classwork may be a little bit more rough and ready because you're in class, and so I don't grade the classwork for presentation. And then on the back of that, you've got an example of what it should look like. Okay, so this took an hour with the 9th and 10th graders. I'm hoping it won't need to take so long with you guys because I want to be able to get to the work that you've prepared. We've got a lot to do in eschatology, so, but I do need to say some things to you all. So let me pray, and then we'll kick off. Merciful Father, thank you for these young men and women, for the privilege of teaching them, getting to know them. I've seen them grow in maturity and faithfulness. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you'd guide and help us now to think and work with clarity together, both to review the first quarter of this academic year and also to make progress in the material that they've prepared for today's class. And we thank you for the preparation they've done, and we ask that you'd assist us by your Spirit. This time may be fruitful and a blessing to them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I got to grading your papers. I'll just check that this is recording. It is. I got to grading your papers, your homework submissions for the first quarter of the academic year. And I want to talk to you about that. Let me first say, your contributions in class, your understanding and articulacy, your way you've engaged with each other, your thoughtfulness, your communication with me by email or asking questions and so on has been great, like really good. It was fun and easy to give high grades to most, if not all of you, and certainly decent grades, good grades to all of you in those areas of your grading for first quarter. But I also stipulated presentation guidelines. And the reason I did this was because in previous years, presentation has been a very, very weak point among students in this class, and actually in other classes as well. I talked to other teachers. That's not for everybody. For some of you, your handwriting is neat. You comply with instructions about how to lay out your work. You write consistent, neat, well thought through material throughout the semester. It doesn't sort of start good and then sort of fade off and dribble away. And so I feel slightly bad now that I'm talking only to a subset of you, but I do want to talk to you all together. And those of you who got a 5 for presentation, great. Well done. I didn't give any 5s out except to people who were doing really well. But if I'd graded you according to the criteria that I'd actually stipulated at the start of the quarter, I would have had to fail just under half of you. What that means is you'd have got 1 or less out of 5 for the presentation element, because you'd have lost so many marks for either not handing work in or handing in work that's messy or handing in work that is not correctly formatted. I'm talking about homework now, not the classwork. Like I said, I don't grade the classwork on presentation. As long as it's there, I'm happy, because I realize our discussion sometimes, all the fun is in the discussion, and you might not make many notes. That's fine. But you'd have lost a mark for every piece of work that wasn't missing, unless they had an excused absence. I mean, that was really generous, because obviously you should still be doing the work if you're absent through illness. You should just find a way of catching up. But anyway, I was being generous there. You'd have lost a mark. You'd have lost half a mark for anything that was messy or incorrectly formatted. And if you lose 4 marks out of 8 pieces of work, you fail in that category. And if you fail in one category, you fail the class for the quarter. That's how I've structured the guidelines, because I don't think it's acceptable to train young adults that it's okay to make up in person what they do badly in print. You've got to be able to produce in all domains. Yeah, you with me? So I talked to Mrs. Brandt towards the end of last quarter and said, well, what do I do? And she said, well, we need to notify the parents of the students 2 weeks in advance of the end of term, I think. It was some date that had already passed, if it looks like any of them are going to fail. So in order to follow the guidelines, I shouldn't fail anybody. So she said, could I curve the grades? Anybody know what curving the grades means? Yeah, it means lying to you about how good you are. I know it's not what they say in secular academia. What they say in secular academia, it's like they project what you actually got onto some curve on a chart, which then generates a mark which is other than the score you actually received, in order to bump everybody's grades up to a level that makes it look like the teacher isn't too bad. But it's flattery. It's a form of flattery. And I was reminded of the sin of flattery by an exhortation from Pastor Toby Sumter just last week at the meetings I was at. He gave his presentation. Proverbs 26, verse 28. No need to turn to it, but you can if you like. A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. So a lying tongue is put in parallel with a flattering mouth. And I'd have to hate you in order to flatter you. And I don't hate you. I love you as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want to help you to... Well, another text that I had to look at with the 9th, 10th graders. I want to help you, in the words of Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you're going. In a few decades, you'll all be dead. You won't have the opportunity to work anymore then until the resurrection, when you can work all you like. And then you'll be perfected and you'll be working really hard. But for now, you need to be told and encouraged and exhorted to work hard, because we're sinners, lazy, weak, easily distracted. And so Solomon exhorts us to work with our might. The word work appears 3 times in this verse. Literally, it's whatever your hand finds to work at, work it with your might, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or anything else in Sheol. And so he's exhorting us to work, and he's also telling me that I mustn't flatter you by lying about how good your work is when it's terrible. So I'm kind of stuck, aren't I? I've got to tell you the truth. But I realize that this is kind of unfair, because we all know that if you'd gone to a public school, your teachers would have lied about how good your work is, and if you showed up to class and handed something in, you'd get an A, and all the colleges that you applied to would think you're wonderful, and you'd get some tin pot worthless degree, cost you $100,000. No, cost your father $100,000 probably in some cases. And you'd be able to deceive yourself until you hit the cold, hard realities of the workplace. Or maybe even then you'd find yourself in some woke company that, like, didn't care about performance, just cared about the color of your skin, which would be stupid, wouldn't it, working in a place like that. But eventually the cold, hard realities of how hard we work would start to hit home. They hit home with brutal consistency in the family. If your father is not working really hard to provide for you, and if your mother is not working really hard in her calling as a mum, Lord preserve you. Failures of work ruin families. And I'm a pastor, so I get to see that. And I don't want to, and I would consider it a dereliction of duty to fail to call your attention to this. So really, what I'm getting to is I'm going to put before you a choice, which is the choice stipulated on the student preparation presentation guide grading request form, pardon me, getting my tongue in a tangle, you get to choose how you want me to grade your work from now on. Remember, your contributions in class are great. I can glean from what you all say in class that to different degrees, in different ways, you all understand pretty well, you're articulate and so on and so forth. I think you'll all pass. In fact, most of you will do very well. The rest of you will do pretty well on the basis of your class contributions. But if I'm going to grade you according to criteria that require you to work when I'm not present, when you're at home, when you're sitting at the kitchen table or at your desk in your bedroom, if I'm going to grade you according to strict criteria there, either you're going to change or you're going to fail. Some of you. And all of you, not all of you, most of you will do less well than you could do. Yes.
Did you actually write in, I know you gave us our grade already, mm-hmm. but on the 5-block system, did you already put where we would have ranked if no?
No, I didn't. I applied the generous, quote unquote, that is to say flattering, grading system to what I said in your on your spreadsheet.
So if we sign this as, let's say, option 2, then you would go back through that.
No. If I sign it, I'll come to this in a second, Seth. Don't worry. I'm not going to retrospectively alter your grades from the first quarter. Okay? You can have that one on me. I will lie and trust Jesus to forgive me for that one. Because I want to follow the rules of the school, which require me not to issue failing grades to students if I don't notify them in advance. Okay? We're going to have to deal with how I'm going to figure out that. Maybe I have to have you hand in your work earlier during the quarter or something so I can see how it's going. Right. But where had I got to? Yes. I want you to tell me what you want me to do from this point on. Like I said, for some of you, this won't require much change. For some of you, you're already actually working really hard. You consistently keep the high level during the semester or the quarter. It starts good and it stays good. It starts neat and it stays neat. Others, it starts neat and sort of tails off. Others, it never really gets started. And before you decide which option you're going to check, I want to just show you that you can do it. All of you. So I have some lined paper here. I'm going to give you one sheet each. Don't write on it yet. Don't write on it until I've told you what I want you to do with it. Here. Okay. You're going to write on this and hand it in to me. Here we are. Can I put this in? Yeah, there's two there, ladies. Thank you. Okay. And here, there, and there. Right. Now, I want to prove to you that you are all perfectly capable of presenting work which entirely meets the presentation guidelines. So you could do it by, if you flip over this handout that's got the presentation guidelines on it, it's got an example on the back, yeah? Can you see that? Steve Jeffrey, Systematic Theology Homework, October 20th, 2023. And then there's a missed line, and then it says the person of Christ, the title for the session. You could word process like that, yeah? Now, just a quick note. I don't like this formatting. I think it's ugly. I think it wastes space. I think it isn't elegant. But I'm complying with the format requirements that the school has issued. Even pastors have to comply with formatting requirements from other people. The question is not, do I like this? The question is, can I comply with it? And I gave you the instructions on the reverse of that piece of paper at the start of the quarter, and most of you didn't comply with it. I want to demonstrate now that you could do so. You could do so in a word process document, very easy. You could even do so in a handwritten document like this one. So here's what I've done. Can you all see this? Steve Jeffrey, Systematic Theology, you'd write eschatology. Then homework, then the date, then you'd leave a line and you'd write the title. Maybe you'd write the covenant with Abraham or something. I'd like you to do that now, neatly. Wait. On the top line, your name. I'm going to do it on the board up here for you, and you can copy me. Sorry to treat you like five-year-olds, but, you know, I want to help. So I'll do it for Seth, okay? Here's how it goes. Seth Brent. Is that how you spell your name? Then the next line is eschatology. And the next line says homework. The next line says October the 5th, 2023. Then there's a blank line, and under that you write, let's say, the covenant with Abraham. If you wouldn't mind, please, writing that, but replace Seth Brandt with your name. And then I'm going to take those in from you. When you're done, just look up at me so that I can tell, and I'll come and get them. Right. Okay. Can I ask you to do it a bit over and to do them on separate lines down here? Okay. Yeah. You don't need to worry. Just like your sister's done. Mm-hmm. And then write here the covenant with Abraham in the middle of the page. Is that all right, Jael?
Yeah.
I know you can do it, but I just want to get you to do it. That's great. Very good. I'm going to take these in from you. All right. Yes, sir. Thank you. How are we doing, ladies? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Have I got everybody's? Hannah, thank you very much indeed. That's great. Almost got it. Go on, take your time, it's fine.
So, question.
Yeah?
When I was doing the master folder, I was putting it off here and then putting the title there. Does that not work?
Is that what it said in the guidelines?
No,
right. I don't like the guidelines either. Here's the thing. It is about... Thank you. I've got to take these up. It is about, thank you very much. It's about demonstrating the ability to follow instructions. It's priestly work. We've talked about this. The priests under the Old Covenant were not supposed to ask, why am I doing this? Why do I have to put both hands on the head of the animal and press down? And why do I have to sprinkle the blood everywhere? This is a pain in the neck. I'm not doing it. So, do what you're told. Just do what you're told. And it's remarkably difficult, isn't it? I mean, you had to kind of concentrate to make sure you didn't make any mistakes. Yeah?
So this isn't a header. This past quarter, I've been doing it as a header on the top of a line paper. So it's not supposed to be treated as a header, but on the lines themselves.
Correct, yeah. So the guidelines that I was given, these are not my guidelines, these are guidelines that I was given, then said separate lines. Now, so what I decided to do was I'll overlook all that from the first quarter, mark it generously, quote unquote, and then ask you to tell me what you'd like me to do next. And you've got two options. Now, you've just shown me what you could do. I now have a sample of your work. So I know how neatly you can write. And I know how well you can follow those instructions. Ha ha. See what I did there? So, do I hold you to that? Or do I do option one? Look with me at option one on the student presentation grading request form. Option one. Please continue to mark my written work, quote, generously, which is to say... lying and flattering about it. As in quarter 1, 2023, overlooking my failure to comply with formatting instructions, messy handwriting and cartoon pictures of Mr. Bauer. Why are you laughing?
Were there actually cartoon pictures of Mr.
There were cartoon pictures of Mr. Bauer, which are completely acceptable among five-year-olds and are completely unacceptable among adults. And I overlooked them. I realize that if I check this option, I will certainly pass this course and will be able to complete this year of my education without delay and get out of Pastor Jeffrey's class for good and all. Yeah, you could do that. I'll just carry on doing what I've been doing. Option.
I think this is what you would call a biased.
No, this is to be filled in confidentially. Beg your pardon?
I said it doesn't really seem like we have a choice.
No, you absolutely have a choice. I'm not going to disclose to anybody else what you've chosen to do. If you'd like another, if you've already filled in option two and you'd like to change your mind back to option one, I'll give you another form and you can, or you can just tell me, you can just email me and retract whatever you like and keep it secret. But option two is, please mark my written work strictly in accordance with the following presentation guidelines as stipulated in the grading criteria issued at the start of the academic year. Quote, every item of homework submitted late or out of accordance with the guidelines loses 0.5. Every item of missing homework loses 1. Every item of messy homework loses 0.5 unless a student embarks upon an agreed program of improvement in presentation. A negative total mark is theoretically possible. It's kind of scary, isn't it, really? I realise that unless my presentation reaches the required standard, I will likely fail the course and may be unable to complete this year of my education on schedule. So you absolutely have a choice. You will not have a choice in 2 or 3 years' time. How old are you now? 17? Yeah. So you're going to go to college, maybe, or you're going to go to work, maybe, or you, like, if you go work as a barista, let me tell you, you have to follow the instructions for making the coffee precisely, or you'll get fired. Never mind that I've got a better way of doing it. You're working at Starbucks. You do it this way now. I don't stuff your creativity. Do what you're told. If you go to college and you're asked to submit work as a PDF by this date through this online portal and you don't do it, the online portal will close. And if you try and submit a Word document, not a PDF, it won't accept the document. So you're coming to the point in your life where the requirements are brutally unyielding. Even if you don't like them, they're unyielding. You're stuck with them. And I want to know whether you want me to help you to learn to cope with that. Does that make sense? Now, I'm going to ask you in a minute or two for your reactions to this, because I realize that, you know, you might think this is a little bit over the top, Pastor Jeffrey. But before we do that, please decide, if you're ready to decide which of these two options you'd like to select. It's fine. Tick option one or option two, write your name in uppercase, so block capitals, then sign it like you would sign a check or a bank card, and then date it, and I'll come around and collect them in. I won't show anybody what they say.
Can I take it home and talk to my parents about it before I sign anything?
Absolutely, yes you can. And I want to encourage your parents, if they have any questions about this, to come and talk to me. And I should say, parents, if you're listening, hello. My aim in this is to help you, parents, and you, students. I should also say, I realize that different students come to the task of producing written work with different abilities. And some parents have been in touch with me about that, and of course I'll make allowances for that. I realize that your natural handwriting and somebody else's natural handwriting might be different, which is why I've taken a sample of it here. So now I know what your neat handwriting looks like. Yeah? And I'm not trying to create problems for you and make life difficult. What I'm trying to do is to help you to obey Ecclesiastes 9:10. Let me flip it around the other way. What would be the easiest thing in the world for me to do as a teacher? Like, I'll be honest with you. I don't get paid extra for this, okay? I do this class because I love doing this class, and I just have to cram all my work into the remaining 90% of the week. So I and my family give you this time. I don't get paid by the Oaks to do this. There's nothing else that I do that takes this long besides the job I get paid for and spending time with my family. Okay? So the easiest thing in the world for me to do would be just to give a vaguely defined, hand-wavy mark out ABC on the basis of my dimly remembered impressions from the class. And honestly, you'd all get A's. Because you're all great. All of you. You're different. That's the easiest thing in the world to do. But I consider it dishonest. I consider it flattery. I consider it a dereliction of pedagogical duty, duty as a teacher. My responsibility is not just to sit down and have a chat and then say, oh yeah, you all did fine. It's to try and help you to succeed to the best you possibly can. You are all capable of doing really, really well, differently well. But unless somebody fronts up to you and says, guys, this isn't good enough and you know it. I don't know who is. I had a conversation like this with the previous class. Like, whose responsibility is it to teach you diligence? It's not the Greek teacher. It's not the science teacher. It's not the math teacher. It's your parents. But your parents have enlisted the help of your teachers here in that aspect of your education. So who is it who has the responsibility of teaching you that whatever your hand finds to do, work at it with all your might? Oh, that would be the Bible and theology teacher then. So it's kind of my job. I have to do this. Otherwise, I'm not really teaching you the Bible. If I omit to teach you the one thing that is most needful for you from the Bible, and I call myself your Bible teacher, I've failed as your Bible teacher. And I want to do the best I can. And I want you to do the best you can. You with me? So by all means, take it home. Ask your parents what they think. I would love to hear from them. You can fill it in now and give it to me and still go home and talk to them about this, and I'm going to encourage them to listen to the recording today. I don't do anything in here that I want to keep secret. I want your parents to... We're partners in helping you guys grow. So, if you wouldn't mind, fill those forms in, and when you're ready to hand them back to me, let me know, and just look at me, and I'll be able to pick them up. Yes, Charlie.
For the homework we did last week, should we redo it?
No, there's no need to do that. I will overlook any glitches and shortcomings in that homework as well, because I don't think it's just to apply standards retrospectively. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the criteria for moral culpability are knowledge and consent. So if you didn't know what was required, it's not fair for me to hold you accountable to it. So I wouldn't do that. Right. Have I got everybody's?
I'll bring mine.
Behind you.
Yeah, please do. Yeah. Right here. Behind you. Right. If you could, if you've not handed it in because you want to talk to your parents about it, then please, what do I do with these? Let's put them over here. Then please just bring it along next week, or you could email it to me. I don't mind. Yeah. Yeah, so now I want to see if there's any questions. Yeah, Daniel.
Do you want us to put in our notes from class? Because my notes from in class, I didn't put them because they were messy because I was trying to discuss
that. Yeah, fine. So I think I've said this before, I'll say it again. Your class notes, as opposed to your homework notes, I don't mark or grade concerning presentation because I realise that you may be writing in a hurry, you may be unable to write much because you're engaged in class. You might not even write anything at all. You know, so if I encourage you to try and write stuff if you can, because I think you'll find it helpful, but that might just be the odd bullet point, quick reference of something you need to look up, etc. That's fine. I'm not going to grade that for presentation. But the work that you sit down at your desk at home and or sit down at the kitchen table or wherever you sit down, that I'm entitled to about an hour of your time sitting down to think about the work I've given you to do. I've asked you to present that in a certain way. And it's just the presentation guidelines I've been given by the Oaks. And all that's happening is I'm holding you to it, if you want me to. Yeah? Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Yes.
Would it be possible to get, for those of us, would it be possible to get what our grade would actually have been for the last quarter so we can know how much we need to improve?
That might be too much work for you going.
Right. Yeah, you could do. I can give you a fairly easy heuristic and you can work it out for yourself. So you can look back over the quarter. There should be as many pieces of work as there were weeks there, minus one. So I think that's 8. 9 weeks, so it should be 8. Because I'm not expecting you to have done anything in preparation for the first class, because we just met. You know. And then each one of them should have complied with these grading guidelines. So starting on a new sheet of paper, with the headings, everything formatted in the way this document states, and you'd lose half a mark if it were present but formatted wrong. You'd lose half a mark also if it were messy, and by messy I mean less neat than what you've just written for me. I can't remember, did you type or did you handwrite? So if your handwriting is about the same as this, the handwriting is fine. If the formatting is the same as that, the formatting is fine. And then you just lose one for everything that's missing, and you lose half for anything that is messy or badly formatted. Then what happens is you start with 5, and you get 5 if you hand it in all neat, formatted right. If you get down to 1, that's a fail. And if you fail, you fail the entire quarter. Because the way I've structured the letter grade allocations is that they're normally made just by adding up all the 4 categories out of 20. But if you get a 1 in any category, it's an automatic fail for the whole thing. Because I don't think, if you're just not engaged at all in class, but I think you understand it well, your lack of engagement in class gets to a point where it's catastrophic and therefore undermines everything else. Same with understanding. If your presentation is wonderful and you contribute in class all the time, but you don't have a clue what you're talking about, that's a problem, right? So that's how it works. So you can go and figure out. And I want to emphasize, it was fewer than half of you would have failed in this class. It was slightly more than half in the other class, which is understandable because you're a little older, more conscientious, more grown up. But the underlying, let me say, I'm going to say 2 other things here. One I'll repeat from before. The underlying issue here is I want to train you for what the real world is actually like. Real life is brutally unyielding in its demands. Whether you're a steel worker in Detroit or an AC salesman in Fort Worth or an accountant or a pastor or a mum or a dad, or whatever you're doing, over time you will perceive the accumulated effects of either diligence, conscientiousness, hard work, cheerful dedication to your calling, or sloppiness, laziness, lack of diligence, etc. Lord, preserve your children if you find yourself in that latter category. That's the first thing I want to say. Second, I know that, how do I put this? I know that the circumstances in which you're working at home vary. Some of you, you have your own bedroom with a lovely kind of study area and a nice big desk, which is always neat and tidy because you don't have a sister sharing your space who's leaving her dirty clothes everywhere. And the house is always quiet when you're trying to do your homework, and you don't have too many other demands on your time. And for others of you, perhaps you have a large family and it's just always a bit noisy and chaotic. Perhaps you're sharing your space with somebody else and it's just messy all the time. Perhaps, you know, you have to do your work at the kitchen table, which is great, except when your little sister's just come in from running and she's all sort of sweaty and she's trying to eat whatever it is that she eats after she's gone running, and she's spilling milk all over your theology homework, you know. Right? I know that the circumstances in which you're living and working are all different. So if you are finding those circumstances difficult to manage, come talk to me. Or if you don't want to talk to me, come talk to somebody else. Let us help you with them. I'm not going to hold your circumstances against you. I also know, frankly, that, okay, look, I've been a teenager. It was a long time ago, but I've been a teenager. I know what it's like to be a teenager. I remember it's not an easy time to navigate emotionally. I know the kinds of things that occupy your minds. And I'm sympathetic to the ways in which those upset and distract you. But guys, you can't wait until perfect conditions come to start producing your best work. Perfect conditions never come. Have you read that essay by C.S. Lewis on learning in wartime? Heard that? Read it? It's fascinating. And he's insisting we do not give up the enterprise of hard work and study and scholarship and cooking nice meals and eating together just because there's a war on. It's a brilliant piece of writing, because what it highlights is if you're waiting for the right moment, it'll never happen. Now is the right moment. Yep. And like I said, for some of you, this is just an encouragement to keep doing what you're doing. For others, this will require dramatic changes. And you might fail this year. I don't know what that will mean for your schooling. I don't know. But you might fail. I hope you don't. I don't think you will. Because I think you're all capable of working really well and really hard. And I'm sympathetic to the difficulties that each of you may face. Especially if you come and tell me about them. That's fine. I've already made adjustments for different students because of things their parents have said to me. But in the end, I'm failing in my duty if I don't hold you to some kind of standard that you have set for yourselves. Now I want to sit down and just listen. If you have any final things to say, I'd like to hear. If you have any, not so much, maybe you have questions about the details, but maybe you have, an emotional or other kind of reaction to what I've said today. Any
feedback?
Yes. How do you feel about what I've said? I know that's not always a great question to ask. How do you feel? In one sense, you know, feelings are a bad guide to reality, but nonetheless, they're not irrelevant, and your feelings aren't irrelevant to me. So, if you have any strong feelings, I welcome hearing them. If you feel able to share them.
Do you have a question for formatting purposes? So when we're answering, I know I did this throughout this past work. So when we're answering all these questions under, say, this text, I wrote that text there and then I put the bullet points there.
Yeah, that's great.
Is that okay?
That sounds great. Okay. The formatting within the document isn't specified, so you can do what you like. Yeah.
As long as it's neat.
Yeah. I'm trying to be like the ultimate fair boss. Right? Here's the presentation guidelines. My wife had to do this. She worked for BP for 5 or 6 years, and she worked for a very senior engineer and manager, and she was basically responsible for preparing all his figures, presentations, and a bunch of other things. She had to do a ton of other stuff as well. But he'd have to go to presentations with board members of other companies with a presentation that she'd produced. And she'd be given the format. You use this format for the slides. I don't know whether she liked them. I don't know whether she thought it was the best format. It doesn't matter what she thought. Comply. Ditto, you're a tax accountant. I don't like this piece of the tax code. It's just a bit, you know, the IRS doesn't care about your feelings. Okay. I'm a father. I've got to discipline my children. Well, I don't really like disciplining my children. Stuff what you like. Yeah? We all, if we're to succeed, have to fit in with what authorities, supremely God, our creator, requires of us. So this is training for that. Any other questions or reactions?
A another question about formatting. So if we have, you're not aligned paper handwriting it, and we have more than one page, do we need to put anything on the second?
No, you can just continue. Just continue over the page, that's fine. Thank you. If you have questions during the semester, what should you do?
Email.
Email, ask, just... I try and answer emails pretty quickly. So. Any other reactions? Do you feel like I'm beating you up?
Like the severity of what you said sometimes might have been a little bit too brash, but I mean, this is my interpretation of it. But.
Okay. Anybody else feel like that?
Choices, and then clearly choice one, you're a bad person. If you pick choice one, just from what you had said, kind of leading up to it, if you pick choice one, you're bad. Like you are not being a good Christian. So what that feels like to me. And choice two is this is like it doesn't feel like a choice. Like you're saying we have a choice, but like clearly, like if you really think through it, we don't have a choice. And so that feels a little bit like I feel a little bit cornered by that.
Right. Okay. Good. I'm grateful for that. Maybe come back to that in a second.
So for me, I think that the two choices it really kind of shows you. It's more of a show of your character. Because if you chose choice one, then I think that really means you want to put the time, like a lot of time into the work. But I know some will probably say, but because some people would choose choice one because they don't have enough time to do the work. I can see why that, but.
Yes, yes.
If you don't choose choice two, then your children are cursed. That's how that felt as well.
Yes.
Like you're going to be a bad parent if you don't choose choice two.
And I don't think you'd be a bad parent if you didn't choose choice two. I do think you'd be a bad parent if you didn't devote yourself wholeheartedly to being a good parent.
Yeah.
So, and all choice option two is doing is saying, you want me to tell you if I think you're not devoting yourself to being a good student, and this is practice. Yeah, I want to come back to the cornered point or the no choice point as well in a second, but I want to hear these other people first. So Charlie and then Toby. Yeah.
Well, I guess my reaction to it is just that the person that's going to choose choice two is going to want to work harder and has the intention of that, and probably will act on that. If one day they don't, they get marked up. But the person who chooses option one isn't working as hard and ends up with a better grade at the end of the course. And I don't see that, I guess, as fair.
Mm-hmm.
And I see what you're doing is you're making it a choice, but then why is it fair that the person who doesn't work as hard gets an A at the end of the course, and the person who has the intention of working less hard ends up with something
lower? That's a very good insight. What it does is it introduces the possibility of inconsistency in my grading. So that's very troubling to me. So I have a couple of thoughts. So the first is, I don't know whether there are any people choosing option one yet. We'll have to see. If nobody chooses option one, that makes the problem go away. Maybe if nobody chooses option two, the problem goes away as well. I don't know. I'll come to you in a second, Sarah. But the other thing I suppose I want to say is that inconsistency in the grading is already there. The inconsistency exists between this school and the public schools. So there's no way I'd get away with pulling a stunt like this in a public school. It's not a stunt. I'm not joking. But there's absolutely no way I could require students to adhere to anything like a standard of excellence in the public schools. And that's the reason why your parents are paying for you to be here. Part of what it means to have a Christian education is to have an education which at every point of it is in accordance with the Bible. And Ecclesiastes 9:10 is in the Bible. You with me? So what that means is, if you went to Little Piddle in the Whittle High School somewhere and did what you do here, you could find yourself like graduating summa cum laude, valedictorian, you know, etc. Did I say that right? Laude? I never did Latin. See, I never had a proper education like your parents paying for you. Well, not until I got to university, really. No, last 2 years of high school I did. Okay, anyway, I digress. So, yes, that inconsistency is absolutely everywhere in the education system. There's no way of avoiding it unless we just downgrade all of our expectations to the level of the lowest public school common denominator. So I'll tell you how I navigate that myself. What I try to do is to give feedback in those numbers that truly represent what I think. And then I translate those numbers into letter grades, which are generous. If you look at what an A should be, and then look at what you can get away with and still get an A, you know, you're being treated quite generously. In England, which is an educational system I know better, back in the middle of the 20th century, something like the top 3 or 4, maybe 5% of students got an A in their high school exams. That's one of you. Now, what's happened is what's called grade inflation. So now everybody gets an A if they show up. And so I want, on the one hand, to be fair, because I want to give you a letter grade that corresponds to how those grades are interpreted in the university world in particular. On the other hand, I want to give you meaningful feedback. So I've got the numbering system as well, which translates. But I realize, yeah, you're quite right. If you ask me to grade your presentation according to the standards, then there's a chance that you might get a grade which is lower than the same work would have got in another school. I mean, let's be honest, though, it's not that difficult. I mean, you've just done it. It's not like I'm asking you to learn 1,000 words of Greek, right? I'm asking you to write your name, the title of the course, the word homework, the date, on successive lines, leave a line, and then write the lesson title centered. And I'm guaranteeing you 5 out of 5 if you do that, and then you write as neatly as I know you can write. This isn't like rocket science. So I think I hear you. I think this is a price worth paying, but I still want to give you the choice. Hence, option one is there. Then I'll come back to Violet's question. Yeah, Toby, and then the ladies over here. Yeah.
Honestly, I could really care less how it should be formatted. I wouldn't really care at all. But to me, something like bending your rope right here on how to write your homework is something small compared to in 4 years when someone's paying you and you have your family and you're providing for them. And they're like, hey, we need you to do this. And I'm like, heck no, I'm not doing that. But you just lost your job. And it starts with formatting your paper correctly. So, like, at first I was like, why are you doing this? But I guess I can see the benefits of something simple like signing option 2. So.
Okay. Thank you. Ladies, Sarah, you had your hand up. Very patient. Thank you.
When I first saw that, I thought, like, oh, well, he's not going to really give us an option and just, like, grade it, like, not as, generously,
guys.
And that he's just trying to get us to see, like, whether we think our work is really bad, or like how good we think our work is, and based off of that.
Mm-hmm. And I want to emphasize again, more than half this class would have passed, though most of you wouldn't have got as good a mark as, you guys are excellent, okay? You are thoughtful, intelligent, articulate, gracious, interesting, interested, competent human beings. You're all different. You have different skills and competencies. You won't all attain the same academic outcomes. But you're all great. And I just don't want you to let yourselves down. And I see here an opportunity to do, to make my life much more difficult, but in the process to make your lives much better. That's all, yeah.
Madeline. So just to clarify, theology should take us, you expect, roughly an hour every week?
About an hour, yeah. I think I said that at the start of the course on a couple of occasions. An hour to an hour and a half, I've said also in various contexts, if it's taking you much more than that, I'd like to know, because I don't want you to spend 5 hours doing this. Right. Unless you just have Saturday afternoon free and you're like, oh man, I could go play soccer, or I could do my, that's fine, do more if you want. But I don't want to give you tasks that require more than that. So again, if you find yourself like, I just can't complete the required work in an hour or an hour and a half max, let me know and I'll reduce the workload.
I just ask because I often find myself in a position with school and work to where I have very little time to focus on things outside of school. So theology often becomes something that after I get home from work, I stay up and do. So I think it's hard any time to balance time, but I'm still working on finding the right ratio. And when I stay up till 11 doing theology, my handwriting then becomes...
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And does anybody else find that sort of time pressure? Yeah, I mean, I want to say, you're right. That's just inescapable. On the other hand, again, everybody has a legitimate breaking point, and so I encourage you and I encourage your parents, if you think that the workload that I'm giving is too great, then let me know. It may be that the total workload is too great. Well, you might have to cut something. If you want to cut theology, get your parents to call me and cut theology. That's, I'm not offended. But what I don't want to do is miss the opportunity to do what teachers are supposed to do. Oh, can I speak to Wiley? I always think when I see I think of your name, I think of your email address. You should never. You signing up for an email account when you've got the giggles.
It's just. Maybe your parents make you an email.
Oh no way! Well, I hope your parents call me because I want to talk to them about that.
Yeah, I have a more professional one now.
That's good. Okay. So anyway, Wiley, if I let you know, Violet. So. The no choice thing, okay. Yes and no. Natural ability, moral ability. Remember. So there is no natural inability preventing you from signing option one. Correct. That you are physically and constitutionally able to put a check mark in that first box. You may feel that you are morally constrained to do option two, in which case I say, alleluia. Because that's the moral constraint that those 3,000 people felt on the day of Pentecost. When they're literally stabbed in the heart and they say, brothers, what should we do? And it's the moral constraint that even good people feel when faced with a challenge to strive to greater faithfulness. And there's something in us which feels affronted. Like, I worked really hard. Like, just between you and me, nobody else. I think you did. Right? I said to the previous class, I'll say again in here, there are some people in this class whose courage and ability to contribute in class discussions has improved hugely since I first knew them a year or two ago. And that's really significant. I'm glad I pushed you, right? But if you feel that moral constraint, like you're not really giving us an option of not doing the right thing. Like, well, yeah, you have the option, and you realize that that would be a dereliction of duty and a failure to take seriously the call to repentance, even if you're a faithful Israelite. Now, some of those people on the day of Pentecost were faithful Israelites, and they're just being called to change now. So they've been faithfully worshipping the Lord, the God of Israel, all their lives. They come to Jerusalem for the Feast of Weeks, and Peter stands up and says, well, the Spirit has been poured out, Jesus has been enthroned, he's the Lord, he's the Christ, and they're like, oh my goodness, he's the guy we killed. That was very stupid. Now what should we do? And he says, well, repent, stupid, and be baptized, and then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, because the promise is for you. And they, yeah, but this isn't fair. You're not really giving us an option. You know what I'm saying? It's like, no, I'm not really giving you an option unless you want to, you know, this is your opportunity. And you feel, if I might say so, you have been working hard, including on your written work, and you feel like bristling ever so slightly, backed into a corner, you said, yeah. And I don't remember the precise details of your written work, but it may be that you feel like you're being called to do something you've already been doing. And maybe that's right.
Well, I don't really have an issue with anything that you're saying. Like, I agree with everything that you said. I think it feels like just the way that it was said was, I mean, like, I don't know, if all of us need to hear it. Like, if it's less than half, then, like, I don't know.
Yeah,
it just feels a little bit like a sermon.
Yeah, well, preacher's got to preach. No.
I just don't feel like the way that it was said is the most, I don't know, like...
loving?
Yeah. Which, I
said brash, but probably, yeah, that's like, probably the more...
Do you think...
I don't have an issue with anything that you're saying. I think you could just say, hey... No, I'm not going to tell you what to say. But, yeah, I just felt like it could have gone... so that people didn't come in with their...
Okay.
And on that point, I think maybe it would have been helpful if you had reached out to the people who hadn't been doing what they were supposed to. I don't know, because then it leaves me wondering, well, to what extent do I need to improve, and at what point was I... It leaves me with questions about how well I did.
Yeah, how well did you do? Okay. So, and you asked that question before, like, how would I tell what my grade would have been? Okay. I thought about doing that. It wasn't obvious how I could squeeze it into your timetable.
Yours.
Yeah, I promise you, however busy you are, all the adults in your life are busier. But, you know, I wanted this job, you know. but I wasn't sure whether that was the right thing to do. And I'm conscious that there's some people here who've sat through kind of an hour and a bit now of really what might have, for them, might amount to good show, keep going. And I don't, like I said, I don't recall. My impression is that, since you asked, you two ladies, that was true of you. My hope was, and the reason I decided to do it this way, was that first, you wouldn't think that a serious-minded challenge meant that I don't love you. Okay, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. Fathers discipline children whom they love. I'm old enough to be your father, all of you. So that's the first thing. And secondly, that you would hear it as almost like an endorsement. So if you look at your work and you think, well, you know what, I, this is as neat as I can write pretty much, and it's formatted where it's supposed to be, and I did all of it, what I'm really saying to you is I value what you've done so much that I'm not willing to let everybody else fail to accomplish it if they could do so. So it's actually a kind of backhanded compliment. Whereas here's the thing. If I, suppose you guys had worked really, really hard and all your work was really well presented, it's all there, I give you guys a 5. And somebody else presents me with like half the work not done and the rest of it's really scruffy and I give them a 4. Why would you work? I mean, there might be other reasons, but aren't grades supposed to mean something? If I'm going to give grades at all, I have to make them mean something. And the theoretical possibility of failure means that your success is all the more valuable. Whereas if everybody gets prizes, who the heck cares? Which is what happens in the government schools. You all get prizes. Pardon me, you had your hand up probably for a while. I've not been answering. Go ahead.
I was just a little confused at first because, like with the choice thing, like, we don't have a choice in any other classes. Like, if you just don't do well, then you don't do well. And that's kind of like, I'm not going to say exactly whether or not that's a good thing because I don't really know that. But, like, obviously there's a difference in ability in people. Mm. But, like, it kind of, if you don't know how to do it in the first place, it might take living through it to understand how to do it. And I understand, like, the teaching aspect of it, like the choice. Maybe why would you want to choose choice one? Because obviously choice two is what you're supposed to be held up to. So I guess I'm just struggling to understand why there's a choice in the first place. Because it feels like, you know, our parents pay a lot of money for us to be here. And there's not really, you like, we shouldn't have the right to be able to say, no, I'm not going to try. And I just expect
I think if... the reason I made the choice thing is because I don't want to be put in the same position at the end of this quarter that I was at the end of the previous one. Because I don't want to fail a bunch of people who feel like, whoa, hold on, this doesn't feel fair. This is like, this standard's too high. This is not what I thought I was. This school is too difficult. Right? So I think and actually for what it's worth, this is what happens in industry. There are professional standards where basically what happens is that you as the company define your own processes and then the organization that issues and maintains the standards measures your fidelity in holding to your processes because you've defined what you're going to do. And I think that's just helpful for people. But I agree. If any of you signed option one, I will feel like, oh, okay, your parents. I hope your parents do call me. Because if I was them, I feel like I'd have a right to know. I'm paying for this thing. So, yeah. Yeah, Charlie.
I guess kind of on me, if the whole point is just that we format it better, why give us a choice and then we talk like an hour about it when I guess we could actually be learning theology? Like, our parents pay a lot of money.
Yeah. No, it's a really good question.
Our fault, right?
Yeah, but I think that's a really good question, right? So we've spent now an hour and 10 minutes not studying covenant theology. So I want to explain, that is a really good question. Here's the answer to that. We all know that this is not just about formatting homework. Like, I genuinely don't care about your handwriting. As such, I don't care about where the stuff is. As such, what I care about is your capacity conscientiously to work in a disciplined way and to do what you're asked to do. And the reason is because that is transferable. That's godliness. So this is almost like a little ethical laboratory. If I can get you all to, for the first time in some of your lives, That's true, okay, for the first time in some of your lives, to neatly and consistently present your homework. I will not just change how neat and consistent your homework is. I would have transformed, or you will have transformed, actually, by the grace of the Spirit, everything else you do. And for those of you who'd already got there, on behalf of those who hadn't, I ask your indulgence. Give them this hour and a bit of your time while we bring them up to your standard. Beg your pardon? You don't care about what anybody else does.
Yeah, like if someone has bad homework and they're like in a 4, I mean, I'm still getting a 5.
Should you care?
I think it's my difference.
Let's distinguish. Not just should you care about what letter grade or number grade they get. Should you care about your friend's conscientiousness and integrity and faithfulness to Christ?
That might be your job, or that might be their parents' job. But like, if I'm still getting the best grade that I can get, I don't know.
I don't want you to talk yourself into a corner here, Violet. Yeah. Do you think we have? I see your hands. Okay, so I'll come to you in a sec. Let me ask the question like this. Now we are doing theology. Okay, you asked for it. Do you think we have any, biblically? Do you think we have any moral obligation to help one another to grow in Christian maturity? Put like that, right? I'm stacking the question. Yeah? I'm reframing the issue as an issue of Christian maturity, which is what this is all about. Now, biblically, like, that's all over the Bible. Galatians 6, Hebrews 13, Romans 12, like, everywhere. Do I need to go to the Bible verses? I mean,
No, right?
Just go read them. So maybe what this has been for you is felt like Pastor Jeffrey's beating us up, haranguing us a little bit. Though I think probably he thinks that my work was okay. Check your grades. I mean, you'll be able to find out. If you've got a 5, you're good. So what I've really done is I've sat through an exhortation to keep doing what I've been doing. For the sake of other people, my contemporaries, my friends who have not yet got there. And there are people here who've not yet got there. When I was 15, I was one of them. And I'm glad I had a teacher who kicked me up the backside and kept giving me bad grades for my chemistry homework until I pulled my finger out and actually did something. And there are a bunch of other factors that changed. So, Sarah, and then Isaiah.
Doesn't seem fair to me, especially to the person who got the 4, because they're not being treated as they should and knowing what they have done, not exactly wrong, but they haven't completed.
Yes.
And along with that, to respond about the whether we should treat others like,
Try to help one another to grow and so on, yeah?
Yes. I feel like that's really important. And if, like, you don't have fair grades on that, you don't really know about that, the teacher isn't letting the student know what they're actually doing wrong or they can improve on. And also going from student to student, like, helping one another or such, just teaching each other, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Go ahead.
So, like, I work in Dick's Sporting Goods. Most everybody in my department gets paid the same.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, and so would my manager, I probably work harder than most people there. I hate when I come home and I'm like, man, I get paid $13 an hour. And the guy who just sat there and did nothing for 8 hours straight, got paid the exact same as me, and I'm over here working my butt off to move higher, and he's doing nothing, and we get paid the same.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, and then I'm like, hey, man, you want to help me with this? And it's kind of like me seeing Anne got a 3 on her homework, and I got a 5.
It would be the other way.
That's so unrealistic.
Anne's not trying. Anne's not trying. I would go over and say, hey, Anne, how'd your homework go this week? Is there anything I help you with? It'd be the same with my coworker. Hey, man, how's it going? Is there anything to help you with? And yeah, by helping him, he might slowly start working.
Yeah,
so I can see
right.
How it's like.
And actually, that Dick's Sporting Goods job you're talking about is firstly very frustrating, and secondly extremely rare, because most work is meritocratic. In the end, if you don't produce, you don't earn.
Could I quickly respond to that?
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Well, I was also thinking along with that note, as Christians, like, why are we doing this? Why are we putting this extra effort? It's for the glory of God. And if you also are seeing not only coworkers but classmates not doing as well, or maybe except they're having a hard time, and you try to help them or give input on what they're doing, and they reject that, are they trying to show glory for God?
Mm. Yeah. Yes. Whatever your hand finds to do, work at it with all your might. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Yeah. Isaiah had his hand up, and then do you want to, on this subject? Yeah. Let's go with Madeline first, and then over here.
So I think what y'all are saying about the friends and upholding brothers and sisters in Christ by keeping them accountable is really important. However, I mean, I'm not saying this is true, but if Sarah were deciding not to do any of her homework,
mm-hmm.
I don't really think she would care what I said about what she was doing with her homework. That doesn't mean it changes my calling to hold her accountable, but I don't know.
Yes. No, you're welcome to my world, okay? You can't help somebody who doesn't want to be helped. What you can sometimes do is sort of inspire them so they do want to be helped. But that's much harder to do. So, yeah. Isaiah?
My one's the same along Toby's, like, at the end, how we're all, since we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, we all should be helping each other, even if we think that it really doesn't, even if we really think that it really doesn't matter to us.
Yeah. Okay. We have about 5 minutes left. Let me say again, I would be absolutely delighted to hear from any or all of your parents. You can readily see this is me choosing the more difficult option, because it will, I think, pay greater dividends for you. And I realize it's more difficult for you as well. I'm just trying to replicate what life is like out there and to incentivize and encourage you to serve Christ the best you can. So I'm looking forward to getting on with the covenant theology stuff for next week. I'll send you some additional things to think about by email. Thank you for this conversation. As always, if you have any questions, give me a call or an email, and I'd love to hear from you or your parents. Let's pray, and then you can go. Merciful Father, thank you for these students, the privilege of working with them. Help me, I pray, to be a good teacher for them, and them to flourish as diligent and hardworking students. And thank you for the truly immense privileges that you've placed before us. We ask that you'd give us the same zeal that Christ had to grasp those opportunities. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.